Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we look at the margins tax and the devastating effect it would have on small businesses with Ron Mestre. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Stacy Woodbury, Dory Guy, and Chip Evans. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program, after a lengthy absence, Ron Mestre. He's the former owner of Buy Right Markets, a group of mini-marts that he'd owned over the years. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here.
Last time you were here was 2003, and we were talking about the gross receipts tax that Governor Groom was trying to get passed, and you were able to successfully defeat this along with your colleagues. And now we have the margins tax coming along. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you come on the program was because people don't really understand how this tax works and how businesses operate, that sometimes businesses bring in a tremendous amount of revenue. For example, if you have gas pumps at a mini mart, you bring in lots of dollars, but you don't walk away with those dollars, do you?
No, that's right, Sam. It's the tax really is, as I'll be able to show you, eats a good portion of our profit. Not whether they need the tax or don't need the tax. This particular tax is pretty devastating, and it was geared not to hurt the small business, where in fact it will hurt the small business.
Well, yeah, for example, I mean, on a gallon of gas, say, and I'm just going to come up with a number, say it's $4 a gallon, okay? So, you know, you're going to bring in a lot of money at $4 a gallon if it's based on the revenue. But how much money does a mini mart, for example, or a gas station actually make on that gas?
Usually you work on a spread of about 9 or 10 cents a gallon.
9 or 10 cents
per gallon
on about $4 with
right.
the revenue.
The problem with this tax is that we don't pay just on that 9 or 10 cents. We have to establish one of three methods of calculating the tax, and that's either using the state allowable 30% deduction and pay on 70%, or take your highest expense, which a lot of businesses like bakeries and things are very high and labor intensive, and they would deduct their labor expense. Or in the case of a grocery store, we deduct cost of goods. Well, overall cost of goods comes out to be about 70%.
All right, so really the actual profit level is very thin. And in fact, one of the other problems with this tax is that a business could actually be losing money, but because they have revenue, they would still, if they bring in over $1 million a year, which sounds like a lot, but it really isn't, is it?
It isn't, Sam, and that isn't a deduction, that million. If you do $1 million and $1, you pay tax on the entire $1 million and $1. And let's take the case of a small convenience store. He's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He'll run about 800 customers a day through that little store. $5 a customer, $4,000 a day, $1.5 million. A couple of gas pumps, another $500,000, does $2 million. Take 70% off that $2 million, and he's left with 30% to pay all the expenses and a little money for himself. So hopefully out of that he can net about 6%. And if he's going to pay tax on the net of that, it's going to take about $12,000.
So, you know, but the other part of it is you could be losing money. There, you know, that's if it's a successful business. If a business is not running as a successful business and is actually losing money, but is bringing in revenue, it's not bankrupt, but it's bringing in revenue, you would still have to pay that tax.
You still owe the tax. In other words, if he didn't make any profit at all, he would still owe that $12,000 in taxes. If that happened about 2 years in a row, you'd see about 8 people unemployed in the vacant building. That's what it boils down to. If we're going to pay this tax, they tell us as voters that we're not going to have to pay it. Well, who's going to pay it? You can't take that kind of money out of an individual little businessman's pocket and not pass it on. So it's going to be passed on. I mean, the margin's going to go from 30% to 32 or 33%.
So
it has to happen.
Right. And you know, what kind of percentage of businesses do you think would actually go out of business if this were put in?
Well, the margin, we'd see a lot of little grocery stores close. I can guarantee you that. The debt service on Little Market is over $1 million. I mean, just for a little corner grocery store with some gas pumps. I mean, you're talking $1.5 million for pumps and a market, and that's not owning the building. So that's a pretty heavy debt service, and you just can't keep that up.
And, you know, we're looking, you know, in downtown Reno and downtown Las Vegas to bring in grocery stores to service the populations that are coming to those areas. This just won't pencil out if they do that.
No, it won't work, Sam. It won't work. There's a lot of empty stores now, and there's going to be more, unfortunately.
All right, let's take a break. More with Ron Mestre when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're talking about the margins tax with Ron Mestre, former owner of the Buy-Right Markets. You know, it's interesting, you know, in addition to doing this program, I'm also a businessman. I run a small advertising agency. And, you know, we're in the situation of where, you know, we could spend $1 million relatively easily in terms of buying advertising. But the problem is that we don't make $1 million buying advertising. We make 15% if we're lucky. And so if this margin tax would come in, I would have to completely redefine the way I did business. In fact, I would probably have to stop that portion of the business because it would be too expensive for me to be able to continue.
I can appreciate that. And I don't know how you would establish your deduction, whether you take the standard. If you took the standard deduction, you'd be paying on 70% of that.
Yeah.
So $700,000, that's $14,000 in taxes. I mean, it won't work.
No, I don't know how other advertising agencies will be able to continue to do this.
Sam, here's something that I don't think people know, is that if we pass this as voters, then it becomes the property of the legislature. And in 3 years, they can raise that 2% to 2.5% or 3%. They can lower the $1 million threshold to $500,000 or $250,000. We saw this happen in Texas, and the gross receipts tax, we saw it happen in the state of Washington. So it's a cash cow that I'm sure they would jump on. And that would really be devastating, get it up to 3%.
And yet, at the same time, everybody in the state is talking about economic development. What business would want to come here and have to deal with that? And isn't there a negative fallout, just when you look at this from the perspective of a business who is thinking about coming to Nevada, and they look at this as a potential, doesn't that, you know, kind of put the kibosh on them wanting to come?
Absolutely. It would. I won't, if this passes, and until such a time as the base prices are established and whether it's going to get passed on or how we're going to absorb it, what's going to happen, I'm not going to open any new stores and go $1.5 million, $2 million in debt and be facing, you know, a 33 and a 3% partner is what I would have. So I'm a partner.
One of the other things that's interesting is that, you know, they say it would raise about $800 million to go towards education. But the legislature could take that money out of the distributive school account and use it for other things.
There's no doubt that the schools need the money, but I agree. That's exactly what happens, because as I understand the way it's written, that money goes into the general fund. It's up to the legislature to put it back in. Sure, they'll put it back in, but I'm sure they're going to take money away from the school someplace else. So we've seen it happen too many times, so they're not going to get all the money, unfortunately.
Now, one of the things you just said there that's important is that you feel that the schools do need money. What other ways are there to raise revenue, and whose responsibility is to do it? Is it the legislature? Is it the governor? I mean, who should be looking at raising money towards, you know, and putting more funds? And to give Governor Sandoval credit, he has put money back into the system.
Right. Well, I agree with you, and I think that business has to step up at some point in time and do something. We just can't take the big devastating blow. But everybody has to step up and help them out. They obviously need the money, and it's very important to us, to our education, where we stand, and the young students that we're turning out. But it has to be a little bit broader base, and everybody has to share, whether it's in sales tax or how it is, it has to be some way, but it has to be shared a little more evenly.
As you look at term limits, and you follow Nevada politics pretty closely, do you think this has been a good thing or a bad thing for Nevada?
You know, that's mixed emotions. Boy, you'd like to keep it for some and not for others. I mean, you know, so it's, I think it's probably a good thing. Just like boards, I think that boards should have, you know, volunteer boards should have term limits. You know, I spent 25 years in American Lung Association, and you need new people with fresh ideas to come on board and not just keep beating on the same thing all the time.
As you look at the state, obviously, and we've seen this definitely in this last legislative session, the power has moved to the south. It had been there for quite a while, but it had not been utilized very well. Now you're seeing lawmakers in the South definitely making demands. You've seen it with the university system, where a significant amount of money has gone south. We'll have Carol Lucy on the program later on this week, the president of Western Nevada College. She's already handed in her resignation, can't deal with the cuts. What do you think is going to be the future of Nevada when the South is demanding, and perhaps rightly so, to get a larger share of the revenues?
Well, it's pretty obvious, Sam. They have the votes. They have the population. There's not much we can do about it. We were able to, as you say, stave it off for a long time because we had some powers up here that were able to manipulate it through the legislature. We don't have that anymore, so it isn't real bright.
And that's
future isn't real shiny up here.
And that's where
those are the only place I'd want to live. I don't want to live in the southern part of the state. So
it's a little warm.
It's a little warm.
Ron Mestre, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Sam, thanks for having me.
All right, then. We're right back after our timeout on Nevada Newsmakers.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Bye, kids. Bye, Mom. Love you.
Back to school. Oh, I'm really going to miss them. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Later.
Go, Mom! Go, Shields!
Got them dressed. Got them to school. Oh, look. For me? Shouldn't have.
I know I should have health insurance, but on my budget, I just can't afford it. I need help.
I design homes to protect people, but I can't afford health insurance to protect my own family. What can I do?
It's time to call ICANN, a name you can trust. If you've had problems affording major medical insurance or have been turned down due to health issues, you do have a choice. ICANN offers you options including association group insurance programs and major medical plans to meet your family's needs and budget. Because nothing is more important than your health. No matter your income or your pre-existing condition, call ICANN right now. If you could save hundreds of dollars a month or thousands of dollars a year, this is a call you can't afford not to make. Tens of thousands have trusted ICANN with their family's health, and so should you. So don't wait. Call ICANN right now. When you call, ask your ICANN agent about programs that include access to doctors 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from wherever you are. Don't wait. Call ICANN right now.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPoint panel. As always, Stacy Woodbury is here. She's the president of Appearances LLC. Chip Evans is with Nevada Matters Media. And Dory Guy is a Democratic advocate. Pleasure to have you all here.
Thank you.
So I wanted to follow up here with a discussion with Ron Mestre. Obviously somebody who is intimately involved and understands what a margin tax would do with a business that may have a high volume of cash, but a limited margin. You're a businessman, too.
Yes.
Your thoughts?
This margin tax is a blunt instrument, and it's going to hurt in some places, and it won't be as big a deal in other places. But, I'm not really tickled at doing tax policy by initiative. It's, at the end of the day, this is just a massive failure of leadership in the state here to deal with our tax structure. And, we're paying a price for it. You know, you either step up or solutions come out that aren't healthy.
Will you vote for it?
I don't know that I will, from what I know so far. And I'm a good Democrat, and I support the teachers, and I certainly support the need for funding for education and more revenues for the state of Nevada in general. So I'm not opposed to taxes in general. I just think this is the wrong way to go about it.
Dory?
Well, I certainly believe our legislature could have found a better way to do this than to allow this to go on. I agree with Chip. I'm not sure I really like it because it's going to put some people out of business. And I'm mostly concerned with mom and pop little places that, have three or four or five employees. Ultimately, at the end, I'm a good Democrat, but I'm not sure I want to vote for it either.
Interesting. And this is before all the advertising has started. Stacey?
I just think it's bad policy to create your tax policy at the ballot box. And I would like to see our legislature taking a bigger role than they did last session or the several sessions.
Isn't it too late for that now?
Not if it fails. Not if it fails. I hadn't heard a lot about the effect on small business. I was pretty interested in what your guest today said. And I personally don't think I would vote for it at this point in time.
Interesting. Okay, and I appreciate everybody's response on this. I wanted to pick up on a topic that really hasn't been discussed that much in our nation. The last time it was really discussed and in a crazy way was with the case of Don Imus and the Rutgers University basketball team, where the question of race came up and there was going to be a discussion of race in America and it never happened. And now, at the end of the Trayvon Martin case, we hear the president coming to the press corps and talking about his own personal experiences. First of all, your thoughts on what the president said.
You know, I was thrilled. You know, I applaud the fact that he's opening that conversation. You know, it's a very human experience we're talking about and that he was talking about. And I appreciate all the policies, I appreciate all the laws, I appreciate all the political positioning and all that. But at the end of the day, you know, there clearly is a race bias that exists in society. You know, and to pretend that somehow our laws are colorblind or our justice system is colorblind is just naive. I mean, we may like it so we don't have to discuss it, but I'd rather us face up to it. And it's a good time for America. You know, do we have the courage to face up and talk about this?
You know, the president wasn't using the teleprompter. He was talking as a real person and talking about, you know, the fact that this could have been him 35 years ago, that even up to the point of where he became a senator, these kinds of things were occurring to him. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very powerful.
He definitely spoke from the heart. I mean, he was right there and let people know how he felt. And, you know, we have come a long way from the 60s when I was out there and I was doing some things to kind of bring the races together. We've come a very long way, but we have so much further to go. And it's really sad that, you know, we've come this far over the past 50 years, but we still have so much further to go.
Stacey?
I think that having a national discussion would be great. I don't know why it takes something like this incident to stimulate that discussion. I think there was a lot of policies put in back in the 60s, early 70s, that it's time to reevaluate and see is this still what we want to be doing, and to change the momentum of the discussion to address the reality of today and politics and the landscape of America and how it's changed.
You know, one of the things that's interesting is that it's really easy to be against something or against a people if you don't know those people. And that I think the part of the solution is more of a mixing together of where everybody comes together so we know each other as people rather than knowing, you know, or not knowing each other, but only referring to each other by a color and reacting in that manner.
You know, my particular spin on that is that, you know, we've lost our societal empathy. You know, the ability to see the world through somebody else's eyes, to walk a mile in their shoes and try to understand what they're experiencing. It's become too easy for us to simply champion our own little cause and not really care what the other person's doing, you know. Doesn't serve my purpose, not my issue, and let it go.
It's a sign of the changing, like I said, landscape. Back in the 50s, the social network really didn't exist. The social network was churches, families, fraternal groups, and people took care of each other. And then we came into this big government trying to take care of all the problems, and it basically alienated people. I mean, I don't know about you and your neighbors. Maybe it depends on how long you've lived there. I've lived in my house about 8 years, and I couldn't tell you the names of any of my neighbors.
Yeah, that's so true. I remember a couple of years ago, my husband and I were in Birmingham, Alabama, and I was amazed at the prejudice that were still down there in the South. We went into a McDonald's, and even these little two-year-olds were skinheads. Their parents had shaved their head, and they had these derogatory shirts on, and I couldn't believe I was in that world. I grew up in an African-American community. I mean, it was basically a mixed community. And so I never really grew up with prejudices like people have. And so it's very difficult for me to understand why you dislike a certain race.
Well, it's interesting because affirmative action has certainly helped African-Americans in this country. You know, we have an African-American president, for goodness sake. You would think that attitudes would have changed over a period of time. But in some ways, they just really haven't.
Well, you know, I'm not so sure about that. I think it depends on where you are. I know that it seems like a different place when I visit the South, and I do have family in the South, and actually moved out to the West when I was 7 from Arkansas. And I think the people out in this part of the country are a lot different. I think we see it less. than they see it back in the East or maybe some of the bigger population centers. But we definitely have an ethnic population, at least Hispanic-wise, in Nevada. But I think a lot of it is based on where you grow up and what you're exposed to, because certainly in Carson City, we don't see a lot of that.
to that point, you know, one of the biggest overlays for all the politics of our country is really the urbanization, the number of the concentration in cities that's occurring regularly now, and the Black history of the United States is an urban history primarily now, and that I think is the same political divide that we're experiencing between, you know, the rurals and the city dwellers, and so, you know, this polarization process is happening at a lot of different levels, and I think the race relations have actually gotten caught up in some of that urban, suburban, or rural divide.
But a lot of those urban areas have moved back to the cities too, especially within the African American community.
You mean from rural to cities?
Yes.
Okay, well, this is where we're going to leave it today, but what I want to do on this program is continue this conversation. And you know, hopefully others will, you know, take the lead from the president and really deal with this so that, you know, going forward, hopefully we can get past this. It's a hope. It's America. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Over the past 150 years, Nevadans have lived, worked, learned, and played in a state rich with history and culture. Since its early days of statehood, Nevada has had a long heritage of pride, optimism, and opportunity. Now it's time to reflect on what makes us all proud to be Nevadans. Their strength in numbers. Our Silver State is battle-born, and we are Nevada proud.
Live with a human for a while, and you get to know a few things. Like, I know she's actually not a morning person. I know she does strange tricks for no treats. I know that water makes her howl like crazy. I even know how the floor stays so clean. She's quick. But the one thing I will never for the life of me know is how she gets so tiny and inside that box. Natalie, how do you get so tiny?
Excuse me.
Oh, hi. You looking for your dad?
No. I'm looking for a car. Something with longevity.
Well, the Corolla is something to consider. It's so well built, it'll last you way past high school.
Sold. Here's my down payment. So, what time do you get off, Jan?
Lease a Corolla for $169 a month or get 0% APR for 60 months and make no payments until October when you buy a new Corolla. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey, honey, can you pull up the recipe for me? I need to see the next step.
Come on, Jack. That shouldn't be a problem. Charter has powerful internet speeds. It's one reason customers are happier than ever. For one low price, they also get brilliant HD, more reliable phones, and the most advanced fiber-rich network in our history. That's an incredible value. No wonder Charter customer satisfaction is at an all-time high.
Yeah, no problem.
Switch to Charter and see why thousands choose us every day.
On the next broadcast, running for Lieutenant Governor, State Senator Mark Kelly.